Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello and happy Friday. Hope you're enjoying the sunshine and thanks so much for downloading today's podcast on May 22nd. Coming up, a warning's been issued about traffic ahead of the bank holiday with new post-Brexit border checks in force, and hundreds of people will be taking part in an urban orienteering event in Canterbury. But first, a Kent widow who was conned out of almost £150,000 says her late husband was driven out of his home by a cowboy builder. Two men have been convicted of fraud following an eight-week trial. One of them was Samuel O'Hanlon, who was hired to build a kitchen extension with a wet room for Elizabeth Hennessy and her husband. The 83-year-old, who lives near Ashford, has spoken to our reporter Brad Harper about how she felt when she realised they'd been scammed.
The first thing, absolute shock and disbelief. And then shame. Absolute shame that I had allowed it to happen and happen to my family and to my husband. Anger, but righteous anger and determination over the years that have followed, determination to ensure, doing the best I can to ensure that this doesn't happen to anybody else.
Can you talk to me about how this impacted the last years of your husband's life?
Well, my husband's health was beginning to fail, and that's why this whole project was undertaken. He became not the jolly out there person that he had been. He was worried, concerned, very distressed at being driven out of our home. The one place that he had stated all along that he wanted to be. And finally, the sadness for me, the unforgivable thing, that he never got back to his home. He never understood or knew that we would get some form of justice in the end. In my daughter's words, this criminal ruined the last 2 years of my dad's life. Those were her words.
O'Hanlon, who's 45 and from St John Street in Folkestone, has been jailed for 10 years. 29-year-old Jack Sargent from Weavers Way in Ashford was also sentenced to 5 years and 9 months behind bars. They conned customers out of a total of more than £1.3 million.
Kent Online News.
Elsewhere today, a sitting-born sex offender has been jailed after failing to comply with restrictions imposed on him while waiting to be sentenced. Nathan Uren, who's 24, had committed multiple offences, including sexual communication with children and possessing indecent images. The 24-year-old from Ypres Drive in Kemsley has been locked up for 16 months. A drug dealer's been jailed after vials of cocaine were found stashed in a sandwich bag in the centre console of his Ford Fiesta in Tunbridge. Georgie Spazoff, who's 39 and lives in Victoria Court in Maidstone, has been locked up for 3.5 years. He was caught last October and was sentenced on Monday. Now, it's feared children in Kent could go hungry during half term next week as a voucher scheme has been scrapped. The County Council previously provided £10 a week for pupils on free school meals to use during the holidays. Bosses say they can no longer do it because of funding constraints. David Holt, who's Chair of Trustees at Canterbury Food Bank, joins me now with reaction. So, David, when did you find out about the vouchers being cut by KCC?
It was only confirmed to us 2 days ago that the vouchers were being cut. There was no announcement, no warning from the County Council. We found out when schools in our area began to raise concerns that vulnerable children were at risk of going without food.
And what impact will this have on families, and how might children themselves suffer?
We're now getting calls from concerned families asking for help, specifically because the vouchers have been withdrawn. We've had five this morning alone. One mother told us she was dreading half term because she was unsure she would be able to feed her children. Ultimately, This decision makes life more difficult for people with difficult lives and means some children will go hungry.
How beneficial were the vouchers previously?
The vouchers were extremely beneficial. They were targeted at families whose children qualified for free school meals during term time and filled an obvious financial gap during the holidays.
And do you think this will create more demand for Canterbury Food Bank?
We are already seeing more demand as a result of the decision. We expect that to increase during next week's half-term break as more and more people realise the vouchers have been withdrawn.
So finally, David, what do you think of Kent County Council's reason for cutting the vouchers?
It's incumbent on governments to provide a safety net for those in society who are less fortunate. When they make a conscious decision not to do so, we should all be worried. The reaction to the need for financial constraint shouldn't be to take food from children's mouths. The natural consequence of this action will be that food banks are asked to do more. And that's the opposite of what should be happening.
Kent Online reports.
A reality TV star who owns a Kent castle has applied to build a 200-space car park for wedding and event guests. Dr. Anne Kaplan-Mulholland currently features in Canada's Queen of the Castle after buying the property in Lyme near Hythe in 2023. She's hoping to gravel over a paddock-style area of land as part of ongoing renovation work. The council will make a decision later this year. A reminder, if you're planning to travel by train in Kent, services won't be running on a key route in the county for 9 days from this weekend. Replacement buses will be operating between Ashford International, Maidstone East and Borough Green from tomorrow. It's so engineering work can take place on the tracks and areas stabilised to prevent landslips. We're told roadworks, which have been causing delays in Folkestone, are still on track to finish on time in August. Four-way temporary traffic lights are in place at the Radnor Park Road roundabout near the town's railway station. It's so redundant zebra crossing beacons, islands and footways can be removed, while new curbs, paving and surfacing is installed. If you're heading abroad for half term, there's a reminder new checks are in force at the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel. EES is a digital system that checks travellers coming in and out of the country and uses fingerprints and facial recognition data. Toby Howe from the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum has been telling me more about the process.
In October last year, the EES entry-exit system came into effect. There was then a six-month rollout where it was gradually increased. So as of the middle of April, there have been 100% checks carried out at each border as people arrive in the EU that are non-EU residents. So you'll have seen in the media there has been news about delays and queues at airports. And the reality is this system was designed for airports. However, at Eurotunnel, at Port of Dover, everybody is in their car. They aren't queuing as people, they are staying in their car. So what this means is that you will hand your passport in to the French officers. They then scan that passport. They then check if you're already registered. And if not, they have to enter an extra couple of keystrokes on the system, pass back the passport. If you've got quite a few people in the car, that adds time. If we've got lots of cars, it adds more time. What you have to remember is this system was designed as an electronic system with facial recognition, and Port of Dover and Eurotunnel both created large areas to process this specifically for people in their cars. The French customs booths, the PAF booths at the port and at Tunnel are not designed for that. So that is why we are expecting that impact from the EU checks this time round.
So it looks like it'll be pretty hot and sunny over the weekend. Do you think this will impact the number of journeys as well, both at the border and locally?
Yes, at long last, we are seeing some nice weather being forecast, which is great for a bank holiday weekend. The problem, though, that we have is if we've got a lot of queuing traffic, stationary, for example, on the A2, A20 and the M20, it does add a complication there with many people stationary in cars in that hot weather, especially if they've got pets, if they've got young children, old people, etc. So what we do stress to people is be prepared. Be prepared for some delays and make sure that you have all your relevant needs catered for within the car. If you need medicines, if you need water, stuff for babies, etc., please make sure you are well prepared so that if you are sitting in queues during this hot weather, you have got good resilience. We will do our best to keep those queues moving. Eurotunnel and Port of Dover will do their best. However, as I've mentioned previously, owing to the amount of traffic, there are likely to be delays.
And we know that the war in Iran has pushed up the cost of jet fuel and flights have become more expensive because of that. Do you think road traffic will be busier as a result, as people may be using their cars more instead of flying away?
I honestly don't know if there will be more people on the roads due to the flights becoming more expensive. It is a possibility. It is maybe expected, but it could be that those people have already booked and we've got that data, which is again why we know it's going to be so busy. I think it's just we'll have to wait and see if that is an additional amount that will come through. But again, the key message is please be prepared for delays.
You can listen to our sister radio station KMFM for regular travel updates today and throughout the weekend.
Kent Online News.
A Kent secondary school that was previously given a damning Ofsted report is set to move to a new academy trust. Sandwich Technology School was put in special measures in May 2024 after being rated inadequate, but has been improving since a new head teacher took over in January last year. The Department for Education now wants the school to move to the Barton Court Academy Trust. Elsewhere, a private school in Ramsgate that closed last month has now gone up for sale. St Lawrence College dates back to 1879 and is set within 52 acres. The school went into administration in the middle of the Easter holidays. It's on the market for an undisclosed sum. The Lord's Prayer and National Anthem will now be recited at every Kent County Council meeting. Proposals put forward by Reform UK have been approved following a vote. Opposition parties have raised concerns about religion being brought into politics. Now, hundreds of people are going to be in Canterbury this weekend as the city hosts the only UK leg of a major European race. The urban orienteering event will see competitors using a map and compass to navigate between checkpoints. Earlier, I sat down for a chat with Brian Henry, one of the organisers from Saxons Orienteering Club.
Orienteering is a sort of an outside adventure sport that taxes both the body and mind. You have to work your way around a course, finding set markers or controls using a special map. And it's all about how you choose to go around the course, who can pick the most efficient and the quickest way around. That's the challenge. The urban orienteering is slightly different. We have a different map. You know, we're used to running into countryside. But urban maps are slightly, they're easier to read, but the challenge is you've got to find your way around complicated streets and paths, and in a historic city like Canterbury, that's particularly challenging. There's three different events. On the Friday evening, there's a prologue around the northeast of Canterbury, and that's very much an introduction to the city. You get to use to the event centre at Canterbury Christchurch University. The main event is on the Saturday, where we'll have the city race itself, where we have the competitors start about 1 minute intervals. So it's not like a mass 1,000 people running through Canterbury. People are spread out over 3 or 4 hours interval. Then on the Sunday, we have the South East Sprint Championships at the University of Kent. And that's a different format. You have two very short, sharp, fast races around the intricacies of the University of Kent campus.
And is this an individual event, or do people kind of work in teams?
No, purely individual. You start at 1 minute intervals, and everyone starts on different courses, and everyone's going different ways. So it's you, the map, understanding the quickest and fastest route to get around.
And you mentioned obviously the difficulties with urban orienteering. Yeah. Can you chat to me a bit about how that will work in Canterbury and what some of the challenges might be?
Yeah, well, it's part of the uniqueness of Canterbury. You know, we've got the city walls, we've got the big city gates, we're running around King's School, we've got St. Augustine's Abbey. So it's just very intricate, and it's very hard to show all the subtle detail on a map. The map's as clear as it can be, but quite often you've got to figure your way around blocks, through paths, avoiding dead ends, not getting stuck the wrong side of the city walls when you're trying to find a control.
And what about for residents or anyone who might be visiting Canterbury on that weekend, on the Saturday in particular? You know, what will they kind of see, and what will the atmosphere be like?
Well, the atmosphere at the event centre will be quite exciting. So we've got an event centre and finishing arena at Canterbury Christchurch University. So that's where everyone will be, you know, spectators, and people will be watching and cheering people on. Out in the city, you'll probably just see random people in running gear with maps, looking slightly confused with a compass, trying to figure out the way across various elements of the town. So it'll all be spread out over the city over a 4 or 5 hour period. So there won't be a mass of people running, but I think people will just notice every now and then they'll come across a runner with a map, trying to figure out the best way to work their way around the town.
And I suppose this could be a good way of kind of getting people interested in orienteering as well. If they do see someone out and think, oh, what's that? Maybe give it a Google and figure out that this event's going on. It might encourage them to get involved.
Very much so. Orienteering is a very inclusive sport. We have categories from under 12s right up to over 75s, men and women. Obviously, there are people who are very competitive who want to win. Similarly, there is a lot of people like my good self who are just happy to get round the course, and you'll see people walking, pushing prams with their dogs at events outside in the countryside. They'll be walking around with their family. So it's a very inclusive sport. You don't have to be... The challenge is more mental as well as physical. So you don't have to be the best runner in the world. In fact, most of us aren't. Most of us just do the sport purely to get out in the countryside and enjoy ourselves. Like I say, I'm part of Saxons Orienteering Club. If you look us up online, you'll find us. We have a whole bunch of events throughout the year, including training, help and advice to get people going. In fact, at this race, we've actually got a 5 kilometre race and a 5 mile race that's on a very easy to understand map. And that's very much aimed at people who've perhaps orienteered in the past, or people looking for a new challenge this weekend. And there'll be help and coaching this weekend as well. And we've even got a little practice course, so someone can have a go on a practice course first before they go out on the road if they're interested in trying it.
The EuroCity race has previously taken place in Gran Canaria, Madeira and Munich, and will also head to Bucharest and Segovia. The new landlady of a pub near Folkestone says she's determined to secure its future. 22-year-old Emma Lily Higgins has worked at the White Horse in Hawkinge for 9 years, starting off washing up in the kitchen. The former Folkestone Grammar School pupil admits the cost of living crisis has been tough for the industry, but hopes it'll be a hub for the community. And a new store for fans of games like Warhammer, Dungeons & Dragons and Magic is opening in Sittingbourne. The former William Hill betting shop on West Street has been converted into Dungeons & Dice and will also sell trading cards and Funko Pops. Bosses say there'll be space for people to meet and play card and board games. You can see a sneak peek inside in the story on our website.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket, and it's a double header as Kent's men and women get their campaigns underway in the T20 Blast today. They're travelling to take on Middlesex in their first group game at Lord's. Changes this season mean the whole competition will be wrapped up by the end of July. Kent captain Sam Billings has been chatting to our sports reporter Tom Reeves.
Sort of having that T20 block in one block, how does that kind of help in terms of sort of, I suppose, the planning of it all?
Just, it's way better for everyone, I think. I think for fans, the experience of being able to maintain momentum and following the competition. For players, of course, playing in a block, we've been saying it for years. I think everyone benefits out of that. I love it. And then it's a natural fit going into, obviously, the 100 and giving players opportunities to put their name in the hat for those wildcard picks. So it makes complete sense, really. So I think it's great and really exciting, I think, for the summer coming up.
What do you think sort of went so right in the Blast last year? Obviously, it's been a tough couple of years, but before that, since you won it, what do you sort of feel like went right last year that maybe you hadn't done?
I think the emergence of Tuana Mieyo. You know, we know how talented he is, but, you know, the challenge to him was, you know, he wanted a bat. At times he was at three, at times, you know, he was shifting around the order. And my challenge was to him was, look, you're one of the best young players in the country, but it's now time to prove that and put some runs on the board and be really ruthless and show, you know. Jordan Cox has done it. He's one of the best players in the country, young players, but he scored runs consistently, you know, and ultimately that's what we're judged on. And so I think that was a huge positive, seeing Tawanda really kind of step up, and hopefully he can do the same this year. I think having Zach around, he played beautifully as well. So that batting was fantastic, and just the way we were able to kind of fight through with the bowling attack we had at different points. Tom Rogers got injured, but yeah, I thought different guys stepped up at different times. And like I said, Matt Milnes is a great in for us. I think senior pro, very experienced, and he's a great guy to have around the team. So great to have him aboard.
He really sort of stacked sort of opening the batting, but Zach at three seemed to really work. I don't know how you sort of fell onto that, but it seemed to really land.
Yeah, I said to him before, he was obviously disappointed initially, as everyone is, but I said, look, you're our best player. The hardest place is to bat three, four and five. So, you know, you play spin well, you play spin probably better than the two guys at the top of the order. So just from a natural fit point of view. And I said, you know, you're a batter, you're not a hitter. I think previously he's tried to hit his way out of form, and last year he was just so clinical and just so easy on the eye. So that was the thinking, and it kind of paid off. So I think he's a far better player than just going out and trying to tee off. He's a proper batter that can play in all different scenarios. So yeah, that's something we'll continue to do. And like I said, it worked well last year, and he's a quality player, he's one of our best players. So bat your best players in the hardest positions makes pretty good sense to me.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials, and you can also get details on the top stories directed to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.